Amen. God sent me this morning with a message for somebody. God has asked me to tell that somebody, your story will not end here. You will smile again. Whatever it is you may be going through, that is heaven's compliment over your life. Because according to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, there's nothing uncommon. So whatever it is you're going through, somebody has gone through it, somebody is going through it. Yet, God is faithful. He will never allow you to be tempted by that which you cannot bear. So I'll repeat it. Your story will not end here. You will smile again. I said you will smile again. He is faithful. Let's check. Let's read 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13. It says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Say, God is faithful. God is faithful. Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. So whatever it is you are going through right now, it has already gone through the faithfulness check of God. For you to be going through it now, that is heaven's testimony over your life that you can bear it. And the verse ends by saying, also, but with that temptation will also make the way of escape. The way of, I thought that would, that would be enough for you to shout for praise, because at the time it looks like he has forgotten you. Why me? Why me? But for you to be going through it, God knows that you can bear it. He knows you can bear it. And with that temptation, there's a way of escape. There is the way out. I mean, think about it. Think about it. Paul was simply preaching. Preaching. Maybe this is Mr. O's version. So Monday, this woman is coming and, or this girl coming and saying, I know who you are, describing who he is. Paul allowed him. Tuesday, same thing. Wednesday, same thing. Thursday, he couldn't take it anymore. He turns around and rebukes that spirit, casts that spirit out of her. He didn't know that that girl was money making for a businessman. So, of course, maybe the girl does it at lunch. So she goes back. And then, of course, they called her in to whatever she does for the people that own her. And nothing could happen anymore. And they said, okay, don't worry. Maybe she hasn't had anything to eat. Come back in a few hours. And then, so they came back, nothing yet. But then the owner and I said, well, what happened? Oh, no. You know, this guy called Paul, he's been in town since Monday. I'll be telling the people who he is. But today he just turned around and pointed his finger at me. They said, huh? Okay. That is money making for that man gone. So Paul and Silas were arrested. Whipped. First of all, they whipped them. And then they were thrown into jail. Shackles. Hang on. God, you are the one that sent me to come and preach. This girl has been annoying me. I did not cast that demon out in my name. I used the name Jesus. I used the authority in the name. So why am I? He had, I hope you know, he had every right to think that way. But did Paul and Silas think that way? We know the story, Paul and Silas. Because the Bible says in Psalm, sorrow may, not sorrow will. Check it. It says sorrow may endure the night. But joy comes in the morning. You are the one that decides the morning. In the world of the spirit, it's not okay. Here it is when it's 7 o'clock or 6:30. That's morning. No. In the realm of the spirit, you are the one that decides it. And yes, whatever it, and listen, disclaimer, the devil doesn't like you. He doesn't like you. He doesn't want you to taste victory. He's angry that God has won, covered you, protected you. He does not like you. So whatever it is, he brings your way. He knows you, and he knows what he can use to blur you from the goodness of God. So of course, and that's why it's temptation. When you're going through it, it does feel, God doesn't love me. If he loved me, why? I casted that demon out of that girl in the name of Jesus. Why am I? And they flogged me. Why? But it says, sorrow me. You are the one that decides. Because what did Paul and Silas do at the midnight hour? They sang and they praised God. They sang and praised God. Remember the three Hebrew boys? They saw fire. Fire. God, we're not bound to that idol. But the punishment was fire. God, at some point, it's nice for you to just let us disappear from here. Because if not, they're going to throw us. They saw fire. But still, they said, they turned to that king and said, no, we're not going to answer you, but our God can deliver us. In the face of fire, the people that threw them in, what happened to them? The people that threw them in, what happened to them? They were burnt. Yeah? The people that threw the three boys in, they were burnt. But in the midnight hour, Paul and Silas prayed. Paul and Silas sang. And God responded. God inhabits the praises of his people. For no mistake of his, he was in chain. But he chose to pray, he chose to sing, and God responded. So you are the one who decides your morning time. Yeah? Sorrow may endure the night, but you are the one that dictates my morning has come. Because one greater is he who is in me than whatever it is you may be going through. And from 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13, there's a way of escape. So if there is a way of escape, what ought you to do? First of all, but see, I have to remind myself, because of we are used to our five physical senses, and what you're going through is real. At that time, turning to God is not the first thing you want to do. It's not, even if you turn to God, why? How come? Didn't you see that? But it's us remembering that whatever it is that you're going through, the fact that you're going through it now, God saw it and God checked. You are able to bear it. But with that temptation, there's a way of escape. So, you have now acknowledged, I can bear it. It's not palatable. It's not the best. No, I don't even want to be going through this. But you've acknowledged God is faithful. If you want a way of escape, what should you do? The word says, with the temptation, there is a way of escape. If you now want to find that way of escape and use that way of escape, what should you do? Amen. Because God called which prophet? By Valley of Dry Bones. Ezekiel. He said he took him dry, dead bones. He said, can these bones live again? I like what Ezekiel said. Down west. You know. Yeah. So yes, he's faithful to make sure that whatever it is you're going through, you are able to bear it. The way of escape for you to find it out, you turn to him. You turn to him for clear instructions on what to do. This time last year, I was still in the thick of it. income in the household was slashed by 40%, just like that. And then the new job that I thought promotion will come easily, somebody was threatened and tried to make one young boy tried to, he was threatened by me, but then he had voice with SLT, senior leadership team, tried to make my life whatever. I was looking at the tail end of you won't have a job. the way this young boy is going, you just but glory be to God. I found closer home, found a better school. And then they say at my age, getting for you to command that salary is tough. Not only did they match where I was coming from, they went higher. Not only that, and this is all God in the background. Not only that, during the summer, I got in that means they were working overtime. Got an email from HR saying, if we put you there, even though we have gone above where you're coming from, that's the ceiling. But no, we'll reduce it. Add TLR, teaching and learning responsibility. So at least this way, over the next couple of years, you can enjoy promotion. I said, amen. But when I was going through the last time I calculated, when income comes, I did not understand. I did not understand the word called savings. Because in Mr. O's head, as long as I'm tight and I'm generous in my giving, if the money is there and it's needed, I just blow it, just spend it. But in the midst of income slashing 40%, I will never forget that day. I was listening to a man of God, and a man of God said, you are stupid. If your income comes and you spend everything, that's the definition of stupid. I said, God, this is not the best time to be telling me this. Income has slashed. You want me to save in the midst of this? But glory be to God. Glory. It did not feel, it wasn't pleasant. Because I was used to, if the money is there and there's a need, spend it. But glory be to God, I can say, I can smile again. And the best part is, I now have a word of comfort to anyone who goes through. Because I have gone through it, and I've come out, and I can declare, God is faithful. God is faithful. He is faithful. He is faithful. But we still have our own role to play. Because, yeah, God has to do, okay, I do my notes. I have not brought my notes here. Because the word chastening in, oh yes. I think I can release you now. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. This started 2023 in November. I opened Hebrews chapter 12 to read and study. Let me see. Okay, I'm going to try this one out. Whenever you turn to Hebrews chapter 12, what two verses do you normally tend to want to read? Should we open it and check? When you open, anytime you open Hebrews 12, which two verses do you like? Or which one verse? Because even one of them is a bit... Which one verse do you like to read? Does anybody want to? Which one verse? Or is it, yes? Verse 2. Thank you very much. I thought I was the only one. Because I had that urge to read Hebrews 12. So I started, and then I have this habit. When I get to a verse and the thing hits me, I just stop there and meditate. I was meditating on verse 2. God said, keep on reading. I said, no. Let me meditate some more. This verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. I like this one. I said, continue reading. And then I kept reading. And you know when you're reading the Bible, I think, if this was in the Bible, I'd actually speak. Amen. Yes. But I kept reading. The word chastening, not a very nice word. We don't tend to use that word. But when I checked the definition of the word chastening, where it says he chastens the son he loves, the chastening means to correct, to train, to discipline, to instruct, and to nurture. I said, I like nurture. Nurture feels like, no, you're being nurtured. No. Nurture means, God said, go and read John 15. You are being fruitful. Oh, no, he plucks the branches, or he plucks the things that are not fruitful in you so that you can bear more fruit. So nurture, yes, it sounds like, oh, you're being nurtured. Okay. In my head, I thought nurture meant pamper. No, it didn't. No. Forget that one. But nurture. But the one I loved the most, the two, is to instruct and to train. To instruct and to train. If you're going to find the way of escape, and another spoiler alert, just because you've gone through one successfully, flying colors, if you don't want another one, just pray a very strong prayer. Father, take me home now. Amen. Because that's the only way that you won't go through another one. Amen. Hallelujah. So, to continuously and consistently go through these things and come out victorious, you have to remember, he trains, he instructs, he disciplines those he loves. But then I came to the word scourge, and I say, hey, scourge, the noun, is a whip. And why you not change it into a verb? Like God is flogging you. And I say, hey, I say, what? But it was in my Bible. It's in your Bible. He scourges the child and the son he receives. So if he has received you, get ready for scourging. Until it didn't sit well in me. Ah, God flogs us. Even though I tried to slightly receive it, because the Bible says Jesus learned obedience through the things he suffered. I said, until I had to bring out concordance to find out the original. What did the translator, what was original that the translator changed into scourge? And it's metamorphical. So so God whipping you. It's metamorphical to tell us the experience would feel as though you are being whipped. But if he has received you, get ready. Amen. You will be trained. It will feel like you are being whipped. But with every time you listen to instruction, I mean, think about it. Okay, Ezekiel, say this. And he goes, dry bone. Dead, dry bone. You say what? If that was Ezekiel's response, would those dry bones become mighty army? No. Yeah? No, it won't. So, you have to be ready. You have to be, Paul's admonition to Timothy. We don't like to hear this in the body of Christ, but you are going to hear it today. Yeah, a soldier. Amen. And the reason why I liked the word to train is because I would love to, even though I don't think I'll pass fitness. The fitness, I would like to just go for the 6 weeks initial training that cadets and army personnel go through. I'd love to go through it. Because when they say 6 o'clock, wake up, it's not snooze button. No, six is six. And God bless you if you have a general or a captain who went through the same and came out with flying colors. If it's six, God help you. He says, drop down, give me 10. Say, sir, yes, sir. You're down and you're doing. If you want to have an opinion, forget way of escape. Say, what, Lord? You say, I should give. I'm struggling for now. You say, I should. Oh, you're saying I should wake up every morning at 4 o'clock. Do you know it is winter? And the duvet, being under my duvet is a lot better than me going downstairs to pray for 1 hour. If that part of you that has an opinion is still alive, you need to kill it today. Amen. Because we endure hardship as soldiers of Christ. Not for his benefit, but for ours. Because it's only through that you become a partaker of his holiness. If you are still questioning his instruction, you and holiness will not, you'll be two parallel lines that never meet. Amen. But if you are going to, because holiness, yeah, okay, a start is you've made a decision and you are striving against sin. Thank God, praise God. But holiness is more than that. Holiness is realizing he gave his son in exchange for your life. That is the worth and the value he placed on you. So holiness begins when you realize he didn't just pay £2 million to redeem me. He didn't just pay £1 billion. He didn't just, okay, here's a stock of gold. I want Babatunde Afolabi Omotayo Oguyinka back. Okay. No. He went beyond that. He gave the life of his son. Is you realizing it was the life of his son for yours? And then he now asks you to wake up 4 o'clock and pray, and you're telling me, okay, so don't worry, I've done it. I had to repent as well. Amen. Yeah. Oh, he has instructed you. Here is what I need to do. Yeah. Whenever he's instructing you, if you're going through anything unpalatable, anything, if you're going through a temptation and you are hearing clear instruction, that is your way of escape. That is your way of escape. And yes, it at the time, it's not going to appear pleasant. But verse 11 of Hebrews 12, chapter 12 says what? When you do it, what do you get in return? The peaceable fruit of righteousness. Yeah, these are the things at stake. Yes, thank God for the victory. Glory be to God. Yes, I have a testimony. Thank God for persevering because so that he can come here and testify. But over and above all of that, your diligence to embrace discipline. Your diligence to embrace discipline, to follow instruction, to be obedient to the letter, makes you a partaker of his holiness. And then you enjoy the peaceable fruit, not fruits, fruit of righteousness, uprightness, just like him. But to get there, yes, it's going to feel like you're being whipped. It's going to feel like you're being scourged. But the end result is for your good. It's for your good. Amen. I mean, have you? Yes, even though I don't. Okay, I've never been in army, but the movies say a general cannot say that was a direct command. For where? No, it's either you do it or you suffer the consequences in the army. In the army, as a soldier, and then the testimony of somebody who went through the training said, oh, his general never skips a beat. You can hear when he wakes up at 5. Every morning he will shave, shower, dress up, get ready. You can tell when he has entered the room at 6:05. To the point that he got so annoyed that instead of waiting till 6 o'clock, he will ring it at 5:15 and say, "Can't you just give us one more minute?" Until he realized, because he went for one tour, he realized he has been there before, and then something did not go to plan. Instead of sending his soldiers, he went into arm's way to protect his soldiers. That's when he realized, oh my God, so if this man tells me to jump up, yes sir, how high? If he says wake up, oh yes sir, yes sir. That's when he realized, yes, for him to issue that command, he's trying to keep me safe. And when something went wrong, instead of sending them forward, he went forward. Thankfully, nothing happened to him. God delivered them, and they all came back. He came back and said, if this man tells me to, whatever this man tells me to do from today on, I will do it without questioning him. And that is what is required of you. Unquestioning obedience. Unquestioning obedience. Remember, it's your way of escape. And if God has said it, and you have heard it, if you want to walk through that way of escape, just obey. Because the word obedience, this is Mr. O. Yeah, I talk as a man right now. The story of Adam and Eve. God gave them instruction. What was the one thing they needed to do to enjoy Garden of Eden? One thing they just had to do. One thing. No, one thing they had to do. Not eat from the tree. But then, yeah, you've gone ahead of, you've taken my message from me. But if Adam and Eve were unquestioningly obedient to the point that the serpent comes and he tries to beguile them, but they say, but she still insists, but God said, don't eat. Whether your own version that our eyes open is correct or not, God who put us here said, do not eat. Because, praise God, in that same garden was another tree called the tree of life. But God didn't tell them which one it was. But by them being unquestioning obedient, one day they'll go to that tree. Oh, it looks like there was one by here. Adam, where are you? Come on. Did God say we should not eat? Oh, no. No, the one he says is there. They'd have partaken of life. Obedience. Unquestioning obedience. Unquestioning obedience. He tells you to do it. Yes, sir. Sir, yes, sir. I'm yours to command. Yes, sir, go and do it. We are all men of like passion. I know. I've been there. I have been there to the point that, okay, I had gotten my new job. Salary had gone up, blah, blah, blah. But this is before before the summer break, so we're still in school. And God now told me, what was your response to this young man that was threatened by you? Anyway, it was good. Because it was eye for eye. So when he does something, you need to do. When he tries to attack me, I'll attack him too. When he does something, I didn't respond in love. I did not respond with love. He now said, oh, God now told me, before you go, you know what he likes. Buy him a gift and say thank you. Because we did have some moments when we integrated. He had good ideas. I had good ideas. Just that he was too greedy. He wanted to, take all the glory. Buy him a, I said, the reason why the school I really like, I'm leaving it. By a month, I did not, like a naughty teacher, no, I'm not going to do it. I don't want to do it. It didn't feel pleasant. But I knew what he liked. I found it. I bought it. He was shocked. Out of everybody in the department, he's the only one that he said, oh, Tunde, I heard you're leaving. All the best. The card they wrote, his name was missing. He didn't sign it. Whether they gave it to him or not, that's not. But God's instruction was, buy him a gift. And I did that. Maybe that was why they now decided to rejiggle my salary. I don't know. But that was the last. I was, the human side of us, he's a big boy. So when God said, buy him a gift, I want to buy him chicken. Don't do that. That's not what I meant by a gift. But praise God. It did not. That was the last thing I wanted to do. Yeah. School that I thought, yes. Yeah. I found where I can be for the next couple of years. But because of this, I obeyed. The bottom line is unquestioning obedience. Because he sees, or he has seen it. He has seen the future. He has seen the end. The victory is yours. But for you to step into it, there is a requirement of divine discipline to submit yourself to be trained of him, to receive instructions from him, and do as you are told. And then I'll round up with, I'm sure you've heard this said before, that faith starts when the will of God is known. You may have heard it. It is preached a lot. Obedience starts when you know your purpose. Because if you don't know why you are here, if you do not understand your purpose, the things you are going through right now, it's because the devil also knows, and he wants to make a shipwreck of your purpose. Amen. So if you don't know why, when God tells you to do a few things, you say, am I the only one? Like we say in Nigeria, am I the one that killed Jesus? Why are you telling me to do it? But once you identify your purpose, then you are ready to be, you've enlisted, you've enrolled in the school of obedience. But you have to get to that point. Because now that, as I said, glory be to God, I can smile again financially. Praise God. But I look back and I look back at the actions that I did, the things that I did. But only if I'd reminded myself, he's faithful. Besides, there's nothing, the beginning of verse 12 says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common. Common. You're not going through a new temptation. You're not the first one. Don't hype yourself. Get real. You're not the first. Whatever it is, someone has gone through it. Bought textbook, has got t-shirts, got everything, all has come out successful. Yeah, but God will not allow you to be tempted by what you cannot bear. God has bragged on you already. Same way with Job. He has bragged on you. Okay, let's check. You said what? Okay, let's check. You throw it. But I think back and I say, only if, because Pastor said, all the devil is doing is raising dust. That's all he can't go to Mercury and find dust. It's just dust. Raise dust. Dust. Eventually, after a while, what happens to dust that has been raised? It will settle. It will settle. And once it has settled, God is still on his throne. And what he has said will still come to pass. So it's you now rising. Which one am I going to hold on to? Am I going to? And then I've said it on this book, before. It's just a screensaver. Screensaver. Shake the mouse. Come monitor will come back alive. Yeah. But me now reflecting back. Mr. Oh, you could have done a few. But praise God. We don't live in regret. At least you can do that retrospectively so that next time you won't do it again. Whatever it is you are going through, you can bear it. You can bear it. And this is not you bragging on yourself. You need to start, I'm bigger than you. Whatever it is you are going through, health challenge, financial, whatever it is, I am bigger than you. I'm bigger than you. Amen. And then enlist, enroll yourself in the school of discipline. Let God train, instruct, nurture you to and through your way of escape. Because somebody is going to need your testimony. Somebody is going to need, somebody in your world is going to need to know. Because, you know, there's an African saying, what's it called? A child is complaining, he doesn't have shoe, until he met someone that does not have feet. Yeah. Yeah. So whatever it is they're going through, somebody else is experiencing. And the worst part of it is somebody else who doesn't know Jesus is going through it. And God is, sounds a bit, but God has invested it in you to be the one, to be the voice. Because those people are in your world. There is darkness, utter darkness. At least we have light, but we go through things that, we go through temptation, things that are not conducive, things that we don't know. Soldier has to endure hardness. We go through things that don't seem palatable. But for them, they are lost. And they're waiting on your voice. And your voice will carry power if you can say, I've been through the same thing. Amen. Hallelujah. And that is why, I know men of God talk about, the big move of God before Jesus come, one of the big moves is going to be, it's going to be a move of holiness. Holiness, us realizing he gave the life of us, understanding. Is it in Peter? Chosen generation, royal priesthood, holy nation. Amen. It's us realizing we are not just special for special sake, but we are special because we are special. He gave the life of his son. So for that reason, sir, yes, sir. Whatever it is you ask me to do, I'll do it. Yeah, it's not. I told myself, I promised myself I will not talk about sin because, Brother Toby's not here. I listened to his message, the holiness of God. I said, okay, no, they've had a teaching on sin. Go one step higher. Yes, the first is yes, we. And then in Hebrews 12, just after, I said, consider Jesus. You have not resisted. You have not, to bloodshed, you have not strived against sin. But I promise, let's, because there's a higher call. There is a higher call. He that is born of God doesn't sin. So while talking about it, it is now you realizing, one, first of all, God has dealt with sin completely. Sin is not an issue in his heart. Cain was about to kill his brother. God still visited him. I said, why do you have long face? If you gave well, wouldn't you be accepted? But I said, sin lies at your door, but you will have command over it. He did not hear it. Yeah? And then just after the first murder, what did God do? He still appeared to him. So God does not have an issue with sin. Is you now realizing the value, your value in his eyes? Like the story of slave market, the girl that a man, the slave trade, you know, highest bidder. So there were slaves that they were selling, and this man just kept looking at this girl for a very long time. Then after a while, he outbid everybody. You know, when it was her turn, he outbid everybody. So maybe at that time, this is for just say 1,000 pounds to get to own the lady. You know, he went maybe 1 million. He paid, and then normally you have your document of the V56C for cars. No, so slaves have that document, and that means whoever owns that document owns that slave. But after paying for her, he gave that document to her. No, at first, because when you pay for a slave, you come and take your slave. She told, because I think she had noticed that he was just looking at her, so she spat at him first. Spat at him, but they took off the shackles, and then he gave her back. But she understood what he meant. Because back then it means, I am free. She knelt in front of her and said, whatever you want me to do from now on, I will do. And that ought to be our response. So I'm no longer dealing with sin. We're now on a higher level. Higher level. Yes, it's not going to be the best. It is like scourging. It's like you being whipped. So it's not going to be pleasant. But the end of it, you become a partaker of his holiness. And then you enjoy the peaceable fruit of righteousness. And then I'll close with this. How are we distinguished? How are we distinguished? Yeah. Okay, at least now, one way to distinguish, on a Sunday, we are here in church. But when you go to work, where's the distinguishing factor? I mean, there are different schools and different thoughts. I think holiness, who you listen to and who you obey unquestioningly is what sets you apart from everybody else. Because you're hearing God and you're obeying, oh, glory. Amen. Because Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So everything God says to you that you obey, you are partaking of life. And then the difference would be clear. It would be clear. Glory be to God. Have you learned something this morning? Praise God. Stand to your feet and let's give God praise. Hallelujah. Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We give you glory. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your word. We rise to the call to divine discipline. We rise to the call to be trained of you. We rise to the call of unquestioning obedience to you. Father, we realize, we thank you. We thank you for everything Calvary represents. We thank you. You gave your only begotten Son. You permitted for his body to be broken, for his blood to be shed, so that we might have life with you, that we might live again in you. And this life, we now live it for you. So therefore, Lord, we enlist ourselves to listen out to you, to find out your will, to find out your instructions, and to carry them out as and when you instruct us. Father, to you be all the praise and to you be all the glory. It's in the name of Jesus we have prayed. Amen. Amen.